What the Steven Matz deal means for the Twins and assessing John Gray's market on today's episode of Locked On Twins.
You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Wednesday, November 24th. And I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Thanks for making Locked On Twins your first listen every day. We are free and available on all podcast platforms. Again, Nash Walker, follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. Follow the show at Locked On Twins, bringing you 5 days a week coverage on the Twins throughout this offseason. I had another signing last night in the middle tiers, and we talked a lot about the middle tiers yesterday and the day before. Why guys like Steven Matz, Noah Syndergaard, Justin Verlander, why guys like them are signing now before the lockout next week to secure their money. And what you're seeing now is this middle tier is really thinning in the starting pitching free agent market. And we're going to talk about what that Matz deal means for the Twins and what it means for their pursuits going forward in free agency, because it definitely impacts them. I thought Matz was a target, made sense as a target. I didn't love him just because at this number, 4 years, $44 million, it just seems like a lot for a three or a four in a good rotation. But for the Cardinals, I mean, it makes sense. You add him to a rotation that already has Jack Flaherty, Adam Wainwright, Dakota Hudson's coming back. So he's a good supplementary piece for them. But Steven Matz gets $44 million over 4 years. Darren Wolfson, our friend, reporting that the Twins did not want to go to that number for Steven Matz, which I can understand. But here's what we've learned so far this offseason, I think, about this front office. And I was hoping that this wouldn't be the case this offseason. I'm going to tell you that off the top. I was hoping that this wouldn't happen, but it's happening. It's definitely happening. They're sticking to their guns. They have valuations, and they, above all else, above anything else, their number one value to me, and when we look at these free agent classes and how they've responded to classes, how they've responded to offseasons, is financial flexibility, right? They're always looking for a good deal. And they're always looking to clean up their books. And that's a huge reason why they traded for Kenta Maeda, because his contract is one of the most team-friendly in baseball and allows them that financial flexibility in the case that Maeda gets hurt, which he did, and they owe him $3 million bucks instead of he'd probably make $15 to $18 million in free agency on an average annual value. So their number one value is financial flexibility. And in a vacuum, I don't mind that, because when you have that at the forefront every single offseason and every single decision that you make, it does allow you to make moves. It allows you to go after bigger free agents. The problem is the Twins use their financial flexibility to sign Josh Donaldson 2 years ago is staying so staunch in your process, staying so, I don't want to say cheap, but staying so in line with your belief system for every single free agent. Is that worth one big free agent signing every 5 years? Is it worth that? And if you create financial flexibility and it still doesn't allow you to extend your homegrown stars like Jose Berríos or Byron Buxton, what is it really doing for you at that point? Because we can say all day long, oh, the Twins' books are so clean. They're so clean. It doesn't matter, A, if you can't get free agents to come, and it doesn't matter, B, if the free agents that you get to come don't pan out in the way that you thought they would. And to me, I don't think it's worth it to sign one marquee free agent every handful of years when you are sitting out on all these middle tier guys, because you want to create that flexibility. And what it does is it depletes your depth and it just keeps you on the sidelines in the offseason. I will say they wanted Zach Wheeler. They wanted Yu Darvish. They were in the running for Marcus Semien, but they stay at their numbers. And I think that's been a flaw for them, is they're so staunch in the process. They're so certain every single winter they're not going to stray. They're going to continue to keep their valuations. I think when they signed Donaldson, I don't think they valued Josh Donaldson at 4 years and $92 million. I think they valued him for much less than that, probably 3 years, $75 million or something like that. But they went up and they got out of their ways for that signing, because I think they felt pressure. I think they did. At that point of the offseason, they had missed out on Madison Bumgarner. They had missed out on Hyunjin Ryu. They had missed out on Zach Wheeler. They hadn't really done anything. This was pre-Maeda trade too. They signed Homer Bailey and Rich Hill to a rotation that saw Randy Dobnak start in game two at Yankee Stadium in the playoffs the year before. So they felt the pressure. They also had money. We knew they had money to spend, and they had created that flexibility. But again, if it's only one Josh Donaldson every 4 or 5 years, I just don't think it's worth sitting out on everybody else, like sitting out on Steven Matz, sitting out on Alex Cobb or Anthony DeSclafani or Alex Wood or any of these free agents in the middle tiers, because they say, oh, we just don't think that he's worth what he signed for. That's a little too rich for us. What does that set you up for? Because we're not seeing it in extensions and we're not seeing it in a big time free agent starting pitcher. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope they parlay this into signings for a Robbie Ray or a Gausman or a Stroman, because they have the flexibility. It's not, this isn't a pull-ad spending problem. You can argue all day long that their payroll should be higher every year. It should be higher than 120. It should be higher than 130. It should be 140, 150. I'm not going to disagree with you. But to get there this year, to get to that 120, 130 where we expect it to be, they got to spend like 50 or 60 million. So it's not a lack of spending. They have money to spend. They're just so stuck in, this is where we value this certain player, and we're not going to go any higher than where we value them. And I think that's been a flaw for them in free agency that's come to the forefront. In this individual case, I don't like Steven Matz for 4 years and $44 million. I think you're really taking a gamble. He's been an above average starter in two of his last six seasons, and the rest he's been below average. So that's somewhat of a gamble. And for 1 year and $11 million, I would definitely sign Steven Matz. But for 4 years and 44, that seems like a lot. 3 for 33 even seems like a lot, I think, for me, when looking at Steven Matz. And we broke him down a couple weeks ago, his free agent profile. But that's an interesting contract. I think it does tell us a little something about the Twins, or confirms what we already know about the Twins, is that their valuations don't really change. Let's talk about John Gray first. I love Thanksgiving, all of the good food and treats and plenty of them, but maybe you want a yummy dessert that isn't so full of calories and sugar. It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie is upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. Replace the coconut cream pie with coconut Built Bar, or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of that raspberry pie. Lots of good flavors to replace any pie. There's new surprises all month. Limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly, so check the site often. There's also nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to Built.com today. Use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. So Steven Matz is off the board. And these guys are dropping like flies. They really are in that middle tier. And we look past Max Scherzer because we know it won't happen. But John Gray is now expected to sign very soon, perhaps shortly after Thanksgiving, before the lockout next week. And I don't know what would tell you at this point that the Twins would be involved even in that bidding, because everything we've seen to this point, I think that, as I talked about yesterday, I think they're going to take a really interesting approach this winter. I think their approach is going to be trying to pry away Frankie Montas or Chris Bassett or Sean Manaea from Oakland or Luis Castillo from Cincinnati or Sonny Gray from Cincinnati. I think they're going to try to get controlled starters and trade for them. And then I think they're going to sign some low-level starters who they think they can revamp and go into next year on one-year deals. And that's not going to be a sexy offseason by any means. But if they go out and get Montas or they go out and get Castillo, that'd be maybe better than any acquisition you could get on the free agent market. Like if Frankie Montas was a free agent, he'd be right there among Stroman, Gausman, and Ray. He's younger. He's got the best stuff, I think, of all of them. And I think he'd be maybe the third or fourth best free agent starting pitcher on this market, maybe the second behind Scherzer. It's definitely have a case in it for just from a contract valuation standpoint. I think Luis Castillo would probably be second too. So if they go out and get one of those guys, it changes the whole complexion. But as I said yesterday too, that needs to be supplemented by other signings. They need to then go sign John Gray or go sign someone else. And what you're seeing now is Aaron Gleeman had his top 25, and I looked at it today, looking at who's left from the top 25 starting pitchers on the free agent market. You have Scherzer, you have Gausman, you have Ray, you have Stroman remaining, but that like 6 to 14 tier is getting just ransacked. I mean, those guys are coming off the board so quickly. And Carlos Rodon sitting out there, I think, really interesting high upside play. And I think he's the type of guy the Twins should be targeting as a high upside play, because they need upside for next year. But I just think that they're staying with what they believe in is the best process. And it's been their process for the last 4 or 5 off seasons that they've been in charge. You know, they have a process and they're not going to stray from it. And they're not going to stray from it, even though it produced ridiculously bad results last year. They're going to stick to it. And that's just the way that they work. And I think in this time, I think that process works really well for a team like last year, and it is process versus results, because you don't want to always say bad results equals bad process, because that's not true. Last year, when they had a team set, they already had a team that was kind of locked into place for 2021 that already looked like an American League Central favorite and one of the best teams in the American League by most projection systems. They just had to make some additions around the margins, but they should have done more. I think they should have at that time. That's another opportunity to level up and say, okay, we can get even better. And I'm not saying that they haven't done that, because they've made decisions like that. I think the decision to move Jorge Polanco to second and sign Anderson Simmons, or at least the process of that decision, was sound. And that was something I was on board with the entire offseason. I love that idea. I thought it made them better. I think moving Sano to first 2 years ago and signing Donaldson was a great process move to get better when they didn't necessarily need to do it. And I think they've made moves in the past, but they just haven't made enough. They haven't made enough, let's get better moves. We might be great in this area, let's get better. Or we might feel comfortable with Maeda, Barrios, Pineda, Hap, Shoemaker. Let's get better and go get someone else. Let's raise the ceiling of that rotation. They just haven't done that. You know, we're comfortable signing Anderson Simmons. Let's go up to $18 or $19 million for Marcus Semien and secure who we actually want. I'm not saying they didn't want Simmons, but let's go get the guy we were targeting, it felt like, primarily last year. And they just haven't done that consistently throughout these off seasons. And I think now, when you're looking at a team that's so barren in starting pitching in the rotation, this is when you got to get aggressive. This is when you have to get creative. And this is when you have to get out of your bounds and get out of your process and go find a different way to make it work, because this isn't status quo. Their whole plan was, let's build a consistent winner, and we'll just add around the margins, and then we'll hit that big one with financial flexibility every couple off seasons. I think that's what they want to do. They want to lock in cheap pre-arbitration eligible guys in a solid core, add around the margins, make the team a little bit better every off season, but and then once in a while get that big hitter, that big Donaldson hitter that we've saw, that we saw now two off seasons ago. You'd like to see another one this off season, but it could change, and it could be more. We have a lot to work on here. We have holes to fill, massive holes to fill. Let's get aggressive in filling them, because you can't follow that same thought process. They don't have the pieces in place to follow that same thought process. They need to get creative. They need to get aggressive in order to improve for next year and in 2023, because if their whole plan is 2023, 2024, 2025, which I think they have a solid foundation to be hopeful that they'll be competitive in those years, that doesn't mean you just wipe away this offseason and these guys can't help you. And it's not like if you sign Marcus Stroman or Robbie Ray or Kevin Gausman for 5 years, that doesn't mean that that only helps you in 2022, right? That they are then on the 2023 team. They're on the 2024 team. And maybe they just don't like these guys. And we broke this down a couple of weeks ago. They've made the right decisions at times about who they shouldn't target, like the Dallas Keuchels of the world, you know, the Ryus of the world to a certain extent, Madison Bumgarner. They made the right decisions in some respects, but it never hurts to be aggressive in free agency. I guess for the Twins, with their payroll restraints, it does, and that's a whole nother frustration. But I think this process is not changing with this front office. I do want to talk about John Gray. We'll get to John Gray. I want to tell you about BetOnline. It's Thanksgiving, and we all know what that means. Football, and nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. And it's not just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. Go over to betonline.ag, use that promo code. So John Gray expected to sign, as I said. I'm not exactly expecting the Twins to sign him, because I think that it's become apparent what's happening this offseason. But I think at this point, if Steven Matz got 4 for 44, I think John Gray should get 4 for 44. I mean, I think he should get that in free agency. And I guess I don't mind that as much as like 3 for 40, if that makes sense, or even 3 for 44. I'd probably rather do 4 for 44. If the Twins had a rotation that was already solid and they just wanted to make an addition, like the Cardinals, you'd go more year, or you'd go higher average annual value for less years. But the Twins have other holes to fill. So I'd rather have less average annual value for more years if I'm the Twins on someone like John Gray. I think he'd be a nice add right now. I think he'd provide some stability to that rotation. But it doesn't feel like it's going to happen, does it? I think it doesn't feel hopeful at this point. And they are coming off the board. I think Carlos Rodon remains an option. I think the big three are going to wait till after the lockout. They also moved up the tender deadline. So we'll find out about Taylor Rogers. We'll find out about some other guys, Juan Manaea, at the tender deadline. If the Twins give them contracts or tender them contracts, I should say, for the 2022 season. So we'll find that out next week. And I'm looking forward to that decision with Taylor Rogers. We'll break it all down probably tomorrow or Friday. The Taylor Rogers decision, haven't had a chance to get to that so far this offseason. But yeah, I mean, I just think what we're learning here is this process is, I was hoping early in this offseason they would be aggressive, and my hopes have been kind of wiped away in that respect. But I guess what you can say is, like, if they don't like a guy, they don't like a guy, they're not going to go after him. I think it's okay to take risks. I think it's okay, especially at this point, to go for it. They have other things they need to get done. And I'm reading today at The Athletic, Dan and Aaron, amazing job breaking down the Twins shortstop options. They have other decisions to make, but I think a perception again is that this is about Pollad, the Twins not being in on X pitcher or Y pitcher, not being in on Mats Tillian, not being in on Eduardo Rodriguez. People go, oh, it's the cheap Pollads. I can understand where they're coming from, but this isn't a Pollad problem, because if they want to spend that money, they have the money to spend. So they're choosing, the front office is choosing not to be aggressive for Eduardo Rodriguez or Steven Matz. They're choosing that consciously. It's not any mandate from ownership, I don't think, because Jim Pollad said himself that there will not be payroll reduction for next year, or that he's not going to request that. He said that in an article during the season. Dan Hayes, great reporting on that. So it's not about that. It's about them allocating their resources in a certain way and them choosing not to allocate it to those certain guys. And for whatever reason, not allocating it to those certain guys, you're always going to pay a premium in free agency. And it seems like they can't swallow that. You can't just understand that it's going to cost a pretty penny to sign these guys. You have to do it if you want to get better in your rotation, or else you got to swing a big trade. And I think that's still on the table. That's why I remain optimistic, because I think they can still swing trades. I think there's a lot of starters, really attractive starters available. I think they could swing two trades potentially and fill two spots in the rotation. And like I said, I think that's the way that we're trending here. Now that leaves a lot open for next year, and no one's going to be fired up for next year if you know that a reclamation Dylan Bundy is their fourth starter going into the season. But you never know until you get there, and there's a chance he could bounce back, or whoever else they sign could bounce back, and all of a sudden it looks better. But they just got to give themselves a chance. They got to give themselves and give this team a chance in 2022, I think. And in order to do that, you got to make some impactful moves, and you got to be a little aggressive. So I'm hoping they do. Have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for making Locked On Twins your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all podcast platforms. Thanks so much for listening. Have a